Bruce Jenkins joins us on this Sunday morning. Bruce, good morning.
Marty, how you doing?
Pretty well. The Giants broke loose yesterday. And, you know, after, and it's so funny because it hit me as I'm watching the game. You know, as the media and fans, you know, you say, my God, they lost Friday night, and how are they ever going to come back? They're world champions and they're professionals. They went out last night. Cahill was all over the place, and they whacked them.
Yeah, zero surprise from here. It wasn't at all surprising to see them break out like that. They're just too good of a club. You know, it's way too early to be panicking about this and that. Obviously, they have a lot of, you know, relatively significant concerns, but the big picture, I think, is real good, and that was a game that really helped the morale for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, my point is this. Someone asked me earlier today about the pitching and the rotation, just the way the team has played. And, you know, they're hoping to be 33-29 when this thing is over today at game 62 with 100 to go. But I think when you win a couple of World Series, everybody is pointing at you. And you get beat many times because people are pointing at you. And then eventually, when the season starts getting to be at that point where you say, all right, we've now got to turn it on, you look differently. And I think we're getting a little bit to that point now with this ball club because they have been challenged.
They really have. I mean, they're looking right at it with Arizona. Colorado's got the great lineup now. That kid, Arenado, is just he's a tremendous player. He's really coming on. So that the Colorado hitting is going to be there the rest of the year. And then the Dodgers, now with Puig giving them a lift every night in one way or another. I guess last night he made a Clemente-like throw to third.
Really? I didn't see it.
I saw Reapley. You have to look at it. It's Dave Parker, Clemente-like, on the fly right there, an astounding throw. This guy's unbelievable. He's completely awakened the Dodgers. But like you say, I mean, the Giants have done it before. They've got basically really all the same guys. They know they can do it, and you see that confidence come through on the field. Not every night, but I thought last night was a great example. I mean, you had Bumgarner on the mound. They pounded the ball. Pence, you know, just another tremendous power display. And that's the look of a team that's looking to do even more than it has.
Yeah, isn't Pence something else? And,
yeah, I love
and
him.
Again, you know, you play. Crawford even said it last night. He plays with his hair on fire. But you know, he gets a fielder's choice. He, you know, Sandoval's out at second because he can't run, and he's getting an MRI today. And then Pence just took it upon himself. He said, "I'm stealing second. Cahill can't hold me on, and he can't." He steals second, steals third. Montero throws it into left, and all of a sudden they got a run.
Yeah, he's his base stealing has been astounding. I mean, he runs great for a big guy. He's intelligent on the bases, and you know, he might wind up stealing 20-25 bases this year. When he played in Houston, I just thought he was a revelation to watch. He's unorthodox, but so much energy, never lets up, can do really everything well, and he's been a godsend. I've said this before, but I would really hate to see him get away on the free agent market. And I think the more he plays, the bigger impression he makes, both with his production and just the personality and the energy that he brings. It's very hard to find those qualities.
No, I agree. I say, who's going to replace him? And, you know, you're going to bring Nick Swisher in? You know, it's just not Ludwig? I don't think so.
No, exactly. I mean, and there's really not a lot coming up from the farm system unless Kiesnick gives him a pleasant surprise. But he's not going to be Hunter Pence in right field by any means.
No, I guess Chu I would think about.
Yeah.
Shin-Su Chu of Cincinnati. Boy, this guy he's an on-base machine. He's a pretty good right fielder.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one guy who comes to mind, that you know, who you could use. But I guess with Pence, Bruce, you want to see him do it for the whole year because last year was awful. When he came over for, you know, the regular season for the Giants, I guess you want to make sure it's okay that it's going to last.
Yeah, he made a reference, I think, to Andy Baggerly in some of the material that was written last night about being way healthier this year than he has been the last couple, and that's significant too. But when you look back on his career, he has proven to be a guy who will give you a full season of great ball, and I don't see why he would possibly let up as long as he stays healthy. I mean, he's in for the long haul.
You mentioned Puig's throw last night, and we had a play where Blanco threw Cody Ross out of third base. It was only the fifth assist for a Giant outfielder this year. He's got three of them, and I guess Pagan and Pence have the other two. It's the lowest in the major leagues. And you know something? You know, we talk about exciting moments at a ballpark, and you referenced the Clemente throw Clemente like throw last night, but I think throwing somebody out on the bases when you're at the ballpark, this is something you can't see on TV, but when you're at the park and you see the throw and you see the runner, and all of a sudden you're doing those calculations in your mind like he's got a shot at him, that's a pretty exciting moment at a ballpark.
It really is. And the Giants have had some good moments with relays. I remember a Blanco to Crawford to home plate that was, I'm trying to think of the exact circumstance, but, you know, Crawford's the kind of guy who just nails that relay throw right on the money. And it wakes up the fans. I mean, it just brings a ton of energy, to the dugout. Even watching on TV at home, you get, oh, my God, you know, there's a game changer. And the Giants don't have, you know, really rocket-like arms out there, but they're not horrible either. They don't have any pie throwers. they don't have any Juan Pierres out there.
No, and in fact, well, you talk about great throws. I mean, the Prince Fielder getting him at the plate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that was Blanco to Scudero.
Yeah.
And that, you know, was a major part of the World Series of getting that win,
sure.
in that game. So it was nice. It was nice to see it. And Andy, I asked Andy, can you move Blanco to center? Because he really is a better center fielder than Pagan. And I love Pagan in the leadoff spot. But Pagan, they don't want to upset him. And that sort of, I don't know, it wasn't really the answer I was looking for. But I hope they don't have to deal with a delicate player, you know, for the good of the team.
Well, there's a real pride issue when it comes to center fielders. You know, Coco Crisp went through this with the A's. He was very adamant about staying in center, even though they had some other options that looked certainly just as good, they thought. What the Angels have done with Mike Trout, I think, is completely wrong. I mean, to say that you're the leadoff man and the center fielder for a team, that just automatically implies that you're one of the main men, you know. And for Trout to hit second and play left is just stifling his the totality of his game, and he's too good of a guy to mention it, but I've heard that he's not completely thrilled about it. And Pagan, you know, obviously we're not talking about a Mike Trout, but this is a guy who's the catalyst. He takes a lot of pride in playing center field and leading off, and I agree. I think they're sensitive to his feelings about that, and until he just starts killing him out there defensively,
right.
which he really hasn't. He's taken some odd routes and misplayed a couple of balls, but I don't think he hurts him too bad out there.
Yeah, so on balance, you don't want to upset him.
Yeah.
It's better to have him in center than upsetting him where you could hurt him in the leadoff spot. And all right,
yeah.
I mean, I can deal with that. But I'll tell you, watching Blanco, it's kind of nice to watch a center fielder like that. I call him the glider. I call him Ed Charles. He's the glider.
Yeah, and he still made the best outfield play we've seen in years there in the Canes' perfect game. a play that still defies explanation.
Bruce Jenkins with us. And I had an author on earlier. I don't know if you heard him or not, Bill Baines, who wrote this book, Bunt. And it's aimed mainly at young men and women who love baseball, and really older men and women, too. It's a good little, cute little baseball story that you would enjoy. Did you read baseball books as a kid growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
What did you read?
Well, the Fireside books of baseball were golden to me because I've always been really attuned to history, and that goes back to when I was a kid. My dad bought me the three Fireside books of baseball, which are basically collections of great baseball writing over the whole 20th century. From all the great writers of that time, I read the Ed Lynn biography books. I read everything about the Dodgers I could get my hands on, because I was living in Southern California. And some of those dumb youth sports, Tommy carries the ball kind of thing. When I was younger, really young, I read those. But yeah, I read everything I could get my hands on. Right down to the Union Auto Script pamphlets they'd hand out at the Dodger games, and it'd be a different player on each week, and you could read about him.
That's why you went to Cal, you know.
That's about all I knew as it turned out with baseball. But fortunately, I would really recommend those Fireside books. Our house burned down many years ago when we lost them, but I got them back on Amazon, and there's some real treasures in there, believe me.
I'll have to look at it. I don't think I've seen those. But I read the John R. Tunis, T-U-N-I-S.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
The kid from Tompkinsville. And I'll tell you, it was such a romantic time. I must have been 10, 11, 12 years old. You're finding your heroes and you're bonding with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful part for me to get into baseball and also to reading and to find the beauty of a story. And I read the Hardy Boys. I read all those books, too.
Yeah, you know, you read about, you know, all these kids, they grew up together, they're on a team, and there's always a bully, and then there's a class guy, and there's this scrappy guy, and it, you know, maybe a little romance comes into it, and you know, whose girlfriend is who, and then they play the big championship game, and you get caught up in it, and I was totally into stuff like that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Yesterday, as I say, you see something different at the park every day. 20-inning game, an 18-inning game, and an 11-inning game. And our game went about 3 hours and 40 minutes and 15 runs. How about that day of baseball? How would you like to be an umpire in a 20-inning game?
Especially with those teams. I mean, not that an umpire really cares who's playing, but, I mean, or just to be a shortstop or second baseman trying to stay on your toes, or anybody in defense when it's just dragging on like that, really tough. The Giants game really did seem to go on forever. I mean, they had it, but Arizona kept chipping away, and you're thinking, God, could this really happen? And
well, Ramon Ramirez was putting him back in the game.
Yeah, Pence's home run kind of turned it around a little bit back toward the Giants. That was one of the bigger home runs you're going to get with a lead that large. But Arizona's—I think they're very tough. They're not going to go away.
No, absolutely. You know, and just thinking about replay for a second, the play at the plate last night, and if you had to replay that play, it was completely inconclusive. I could not tell on what I saw. But it made sense to me to say, okay, if that's a play you have to replay, the runners are on their positions. You don't have to place anybody. You can actually just make a decision on that. I could probably work with that.
Yeah.
But the throw to third when Blanco got Ross at third, that was a close play. That one should not be replayed. The umpire made the call. The flow of the game was you're excited. You saw the throw. He was out. You don't want to then go to say, well, he wasn't out on a play at third. I saw a distinct difference in that last night.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You don't want to be replaying every single thing. And I mean, you bring up a really good point about if there's runners involved and, you know, a couple guys on and, well, we're reversing this call now. Where would the runners now be? I mean,
exactly.
That's very subjective. I mean, how do you... you know, how far do you go into that? Do you take players' tendencies into account, or what if it's the fastest guy in the league, but he's got a bad hamstring? I mean, you could argue that all night long. So that's the real the peril that exists with replay will really be come into play there. But you know, plays at the plate. I mean, I think last night you'd have to say we'll have to go with how it was called on the field because we just can't tell.
No, you can't. But I could have worked with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a run, you know, changes a game. But the play at third, that was the flow of baseball.
Yeah, and the play at the plate, you know, that's the gold mine. That's where the scoreboard changes. So that's where I think replay would really be invaluable.
All right. Tyler Skaggs today, Bruce, 12-6. Curveball, 21 years old. It makes it interesting to see if he can control it.
Yeah, he came up. He and Trevor Bauer were their big prospects in from what I saw of Skaggs earlier, I wasn't that impressed. He had a decent curveball, but he looked like a real comfortable at bat to me. Of course, I guess so does Zito, and he gets guys out all the time. But I need to see a little bit more of Skaggs. Good test today. I've heard that he's jacked up his stuff a little bit, and he's a lot more impressive than when they first trotted him out there. So that'll be that's interesting because. You know, the Arizona's taken some big hits in their rotation all of a sudden with McCarthy and Hudson, and they really need Skaggs to keep this thing going, this good thing going that they've got. So it's a big game for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Bruce, thanks so much, and enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Thank you, Marty.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. And, of course, whenever we have Bruce on, it's looking through the window of baseball with Bruce. Always a pleasure. It's brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice.